Good morning, friends and family at CCC. Today we're continuing our series on the life of King David. And this morning we'll look at 2 Samuel chapter 11, the story of David and Bathsheba. Now, in all the biblical record of David's life, this is probably one of the most well-known stories. If you even ask people who don't believe the Bible or haven't read it at all what they know of King David, you'll inevitably find that they're at least a little familiar with the story of David and Goliath, and probably the story of David and Bathsheba. But just so we're all on the same page, before we dig deeper, let's take a look at the main players in the chapter. First, we have King David, who hopefully is somewhat familiar to you at this point in our series. Up until now, David has behaved admirably, and we could generally describe him as a man of integrity. Even as God's anointed, David has been patient, not taking for himself opportunities that others said were rightfully his. He's shown kindness to Mephibosheth, the grandson of David's enemy Saul, and returned to him the lands that were Saul's. Previously, in David's journey toward the throne, there were times when his advisors said that God has delivered his enemy into his hands, and yet, David always responded with mercy, saying, "Far be it from me to raise a hand against the Lord's anointed." Here in this chapter, we see a sudden shift. David is not patient and takes opportunities that his advisors remind him are not rightfully his. Rather than showing kindness to the family of his enemies, here, David displays contempt for the family of his allies. And rather than mercy, we see David acting mercilessly. Next, we have Bathsheba. This is possibly the first three syllables uttered out of David's mouth in response to, "Sire, what are you looking at?" Bathsheba. What do we know about her? Well, we know that she's very beautiful. We know that her home was clearly visible from David's roof. In fact, her beauty was apparent from David's roof, and even her identity was recognizable from David's roof. We also know that she was the wife of Uriah the Hittite and the daughter of Eliam, one of David's renowned mighty men. And from the text, we know the reason she was bathing was because she had finished her period and was now in the most fertile time of her monthly cycle. Uriah the Hittite. He was not one of the Israelites. It seems likely he was a foreign mercenary and had been fighting for David in his army for some time. David thought Uriah was trustworthy enough to carry his own death sentence to Joab without peeking inside. And we have Joab, David's commander. He was a known murderer. Joab had murdered Abner a few chapters ago, and David had actually cursed Joab's family back then. And yet now, David has put Joab in charge of his army, and it's clear that David's expectations are for him to carry out orders, even foolish tactics, that result in the deaths of innocent soldiers, without question or pushback. So here's the scene. In the season when kings usually go to battle, David chooses to no longer lead his armies out, and instead decides to stay home. When he's bored because he's not doing what a king should be doing, he looks over his kingdom late one afternoon, while there's still enough sunlight, and sees Bathsheba. He wants her. Now, there are differing observations and opinions about what happened and how. On one extreme, it's hard to imagine Bathsheba not knowing how visible she was from the palace that she could see in close proximity from her home. It's also extremely likely she knew that David wasn't out in battle where her husband and her father were at the time. On the other extreme, David is portrayed as abusing his power as a king and taking advantage of one of his subjects. Now, whether you choose to interpret the narrative as a love story, a rape story, or an opportunist securing her future, the fault here clearly lies with David. So in your groups, get out your Bible or app on your phone and turn to Samuel chapter 11, and we'll discuss together. Now, this is not the end of the story. Next week, John will be guiding us through chapter 12, where David is finally confronted about his sin. We'll see David's response to the confrontation and the unexpected effects of David's choices from this chapter. Before closing off today, I have one more question for you and your groups. When someone else confronts you about your sin, what do you not want them to include? What do you think needs to be included in a confrontation if you want to correct someone else in their wrong choices?